to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. I'm your host, Gary Holt, and joining me is my co-host, Tina Mae Weber. Good morning, Tina Mae.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Doing fine. It is another great show we have lined up today. And I know a lot of our listeners are still getting over Thanksgiving. How was your Thanksgiving?
I had a good Thanksgiving, ate too much, of course, and I had good time with the family and visitation, and it was great.
Well, great, great. Well, we've got a great show lined up. Tell us who we have joining us today.
Well, today we have Jim McGarvey, chairman of Backcountry Horsemen of America, and then we travel to Bainbridge, Ohio, and talk with Maria Carter, owner of Tanglewood Acres Farm.
Okay, so Jim is no longer a guest. He's just one of the team. We're happy to
have
Jim.
He's kind of regular.
He is just a super guy. So great show. We're going to have a good conversation with Jim and also a great time visiting with Marie Carter in the heart of Amish country in Ohio. Saddle Up America is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store and the Christmas Shop. You'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the equestrian lifestyle in the General Store and in the Christmas Shop on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. So grab a cup of coffee and join us, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Jim McGarvey.
I'm back in the saddle again. Now where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly jimson weed, I'm back in the saddle again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. I'm back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-yi-yo, rocking to and fro, I'm back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-yi-yi, I'll go my way, back in the saddle again. I'm back in the saddle again.
Always a pleasure to have Jim McGarvey with us. And Jim, how are you doing, and how was your Thanksgiving?
Gary, good to be here. Thank you. It was a great Thanksgiving. Grandkids and family. Really, really fun. So thank you. How was yours?
Well, mine was challenging, but we won't talk about that. It was there was a lot to be thankful for, but not quite the normal Thanksgiving. But that's part of life. You know, we've got quite a bit that we want to talk with today, Jim, but I know that just prior to the show, you had received some sad news, and let's talk about that just a little bit with our audience.
Yeah, thank you. The one of our two surviving founders passed away last night, Ken Osk. He had had a stroke over the weekend, and the prognosis wasn't good at all. And Kim is 80 years old, though a pretty fit 80 years old. And so he passed away last night. And, wife and two daughters, and to point out, three generations of folks that are in the Backcountry Horseman members. He not only was a founder, but he stayed active every day with the Backcountry Horseman for 41 years. He was you know, starting out at the beginning with one chapter, and then Missoula chapter was second, and the Flathead was first Missoula, and then the Selway Bitterroot chapter. Then they moved into Idaho, joined some folks over there, then started across the country, and now we're from ocean to ocean. And Ken has been there continuously, you know, working and helping. I know I got an email, my last email from Ken was Saturday. He's on our executive committee, nine members, and he had said that he was talking about, you know, the progression and order of electing officers, and you know, the technicalities of that is, you know, right in there with
right.
it. And so he's been, you know, he's extraordinary. He was one of our four Lifetime Achievement Award winners, Backcountry 2, and that was he was just featured Saturday on our website of the one of the four. We did all four over the weekend, and so Ken was there. He had, you know, maybe some of your folks have heard me talk about it, but we, in 1964, the Wilderness Act was passed 50 years ago, and so everyone wasn't quite sure what it meant, you know, whether we go back to before Columbus or came to the New World, you know, just
right.
before there were horses, you know, just what did it mean, wilderness, and so it was still defining it, and still arm wrestling over it, but what they did to keep the horses in the wilderness was instead of, you know, taking an adversarial approach to the Park Service, the Forest Service, would be to join with them and show how the horses and the mules and the backcountry folks could help keep the trails open. And it's important because people talk about the heart of the wilderness, where that is, that deep in the wilderness, where that is. Well, the trails are the arteries, and you can't get to the heart of the wilderness if you don't have the arteries to get to the heart.
Right.
And so the heart dies. And so Ken, they started and with four of them. Now there's 14,000 of us. And Ken was instrumental always. And a nice guy. So a real nice guy.
Right.
And his wife. We went out. I knew Ken, you know, from, I guess you would call it, of a business aspect over my time with the Backcountry Horse in 10 years. And so I got to meet Ken at the national meeting and, you know, it's kind of shake hands. And then Cindy, my wife Cindy, joined me on when we were in Butte, Montana, and kind of hit it off a little bit with Ken. And and so this past year we went to visit. They asked us to stay at their house for a few days during the state board meeting in Montana, which is a real treat because they live not far from Glacier National Park. So you kind of get an idea of the world there. And
right.
Really got hit it off with them and very close, really close over this past year. So it's a personal loss. It's a loss. We can hardly say it's a loss to the backcountry horseman because he gave so much, you know, that it's just it's got a long way to go to call anything a loss. But it is a loss. Ken just turned 80. We had celebrated his birthday this past September when all of us were at Washington for the Wilderness 50. It was kind of a surprise thing. We had some fun gifts, you know, that you get that time. And but Ken was 80, pretty spry, but had a stroke, and kind of just tells us all to live the day and do the most. And so we'll miss Ken, but his work sure lives on with a bunch of people that believe in what he believed in 41 years ago. So.
Yeah. Well, we enjoyed seeing some of the photographs with you and Cindy and Ken and his wife Phyllis, and I think Roland Cheek was in some of those pictures. And
oh, right, yeah, Roland.
Yeah, yeah. No, we had one of the other founders of BCHA, and we had Roland on about a month ago, and it was just a joy to talk with him.
Yeah.
And one of the questions that I asked him, and you know, what does it feel like to know that the vision that you had 40 years ago was still the vision and the mission that Backcountry Horseman continues to carry on? And quite a legacy that these gentlemen are leaving behind.
Mm-hmm.
And it benefits all of the trail riders, whatever part of the country that you're in. The vision that those gentlemen had 40 years ago was quite amazing when you look back at the foresight that they had.
It is, and I just maybe a little closing here is I want to read just a paragraph. Phyllis, his wife, had wrote this because I said Ken and Phyllis were featured on our Facebook page just Saturday. You know, it was
right.
her turn, and
right.
So this is what Phyllis wrote, and kind of not knowing anything was going to happen. This was earlier, you know, in the day. She wrote, "We are thankful for Backcountry Horseman, for the difference it has made in our lives, our families' lives, the lives of many friends. We are grateful that we can enjoy the magnificent natural resources from the back of a horse, and that our children and our grandchildren, we have three active generations of our family in backcountry horsemen, she says, can do the same. We feel very blessed that the man way up in the high country has guided all of us in the many decisions we have made in the last 40-odd years. We have often wondered if there would still be horses in the wilderness without backcountry horsemen. The devotion of our members and volunteers has surely helped to keep the horses welcome. That was Phyllis Oskin's wife. And, yeah, really kind of sums it up better than anything anybody else can say. So,
well, it does. And on behalf of everyone at Equestrian Legacy Radio, we want to extend our sympathy to Phyllis and the Osk family and the Backcountry Horsemen of America family that Ken leaves behind. And we're going to take a quick break. This is a song I thought he would enjoy, and we kind of changed some of our music for the show after I got the call from you, but this is one called Christmas on the Line. When we come back, we'll be talking more with Jim McGarvey.
That old north wind howling high up in the timber, the only choir that I remember when I was riding on the line. One lone star hanging over the horizon, like the one that led the wise men as they followed heaven's sign. Snow-capped feet like the angels in their glory seem to sing the ancient story as the wind blows through the pines, drifting along to the sound of spurs jingling like silver bells ringing. Christmas on the line.
Christmas on the Line. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net. And Jim, this has been quite a year for Backcountry Horsemen of America.
Yeah, we've had a lot of things happening, sure have. And we had a lot of great people. We have had a lot of committees and a lot of folks jumping right in. And we got calls this afternoon for some new projects going into 2015, but I think some of the highlights, there's things internal to the organization, nuts and bolts, but they have an outside effect, but I'd just kind of run down a few real quick. And an important one, I list first, actually, is that we brought our public lands advisor on full time. I think, I know you've had Randy on several times.
Right.
And some of the discussions sort of shows the complexity of what we have to deal with laws, federal laws and state laws, and then the regulations that agencies write and put out and then live by. That's where it really gets deep. The Environmental Protection Act, not very many words, but you should read it today. it applies to everything. So it's just you've got to have an expert in this. And we brought our first on Dennis Daly, one of our Lifetime Legacy Award winners, one of the four. He was a Forest Service ranger in the wilderness for his career, and then he joined with us for about 15 years or more. And then Randy Rasmussen came with us. He'd been with the Wilderness Society and also had worked in the Forest Service and has a master's degree in outdoor conservation. And so Randy had worked with us for about 15 months, part-time or half-time, if you will, and worked with another organization. The opportunity came up that we could bring Randy on full-time, and that was important. It's just too complex. If you're expert backcountry woodsman, it's still complex up there, and so he brings a lot to the table. Also, just going through some quick things here, we did our first live streaming of our national board meeting. Went off rather without much of a hitch, but we worked at it and practiced at it, and got that out, and we're going to look forward to doing it again next year in Sacramento, where our national meeting is. We added three new states. That is, we had chapters there, but these became state organizations big enough in Arkansas, Kansas, and Florida. Florida has the third most horses in the country after California and Texas, as you might imagine.
Wow.
But Florida is right up there. And Kansas, with that coloring that state in, it brought us coast to coast, sea to shining sea. And so that was important. We also had our new website. Modernized it, a more modern look and more interactive with our emails and Facebook and some of those kind of things. And so that's and some different topics and ways to approach things. We're going to keep adding to that. I think a really important thing we did last year, and you may at first blush think it isn't, but a lot of people agree that we had got a new logo or brand, we call it.
Yeah.
Our one before was kind of charcoal, but drawing. But this one is pretty brassy and pretty out there, and it's really dramatic. And one of our members in Idaho, whose early lifetime was in advertising, as Robin Schindel, he threw a dart on the wall, and he and his family moved to Idaho when he thought it was time. And said, instead of walking, Chicago, New York sidewalks, they thought, I'm getting out of here. So, dramatic weaving the. I think people don't realize. Well, unless you ponied a horse, that's one thing. If you pony two of them behind you, one pony to the next one, behind the next one, it gets a little complex. And one goes around one side of the tree, and you're on the other side. So,
right.
So taking a string of pack mules or pack horses through a woods or a trail is very complex and it can be done right. It can be dangerous and for the animals and the people. So I think that logo really shows it, and it's been a big hit. And people want hats and T-shirts, and so we're gearing up to get that out to everybody. And then, of course, we had our crowdfunding campaign, Indiegogo. I've talked about that. It's where you go online and it's very complex. It seems like we just put a website up and wait for money to come in. Well, it doesn't work that way. But you got to get the word out. You got to have a video and a compelling story. Like, there are people that just do this. I mean, that have money that will invest in things, or just it's kind of the hobby they do, Mm-hmm. And so if you have a compelling story, you get those folks on. And an interesting touch about this is it just was revealed over the weekend that Sony did a crowdfunding campaign. Now, not that they need the money, but they've had a few bad quarters, but anyway, they don't need it that bad. But what they did, they put a watch out there. It changes its face depending on different things. You know, it's got like 20 different photos, alligator skin, anyway. But they put it on there as if it were somebody's idea to come out with a watch like this, just to see what the audience reaction would be. So it was a market testing, and I thought that was pretty cool. You know, they raised over their goal, which their goal wasn't that much. It was more of a test, you know, to see what the watch would do, and if they needed to make changes. So it's becoming quite the thing. And then I think our big thing, maybe that for everything, would have been our participation at Wilderness Week, celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Wilderness Act in D.C. There were 10 from the Backcountry Horsemen members. Ken and Phyllis were there. That was so great that to have them there. Ken was on my team. We kind of split up into teams. Two people, depending, you know, who your congressman was or just whatever. And so Ken and I kind of teamed up, and then Phyllis also and wife Cindy. And so a great time. We saw, you know, 25 meetings, you know, 3 days, you know. So met a lot of folks, and it was great, great experience. And it was great to get the backcountry name out there with I guess some of the big dogs in the outdoor world, you know, the Wilderness Society and the Sierra Club and those type of folks. So that was a good one. I think some things for the, I guess, external, you know, outside of the nuts and bolts of how backcountry operates. Of course, Wilderness Week was sort of outside of how we operate, but getting out in there. But is our, you know, H.R. 4886, the National Trail Stewardship Act that we've talked about. It's where the GAO, General Accountability Office, determined that 2/3 of the trails are not kept up to standard, and some are just those arteries to the heart of the wilderness are part of those trails. And so we're asking, in quick summary, it's asking Congress to legislate that the Forest Service use volunteers in more effectively, because there ain't no more money coming, to put it one way, or it's not coming very easily, and especially with the fires out west. So we've got over 30 co-sponsors in Congress, and but now with the new Congress, 114th Congress, coming in the new year, we've got to start over again. But we've got momentum of the 30 have already signed. Some didn't go in for re-election and that, but I think we can. It'll be easier this time around, and then also the going to the Senate, which has got to do that. So. And then I think we had an excellent result there with backcountry folks at Bryce Canyon, where the ruling was coming out that the private horse owners, that if you took your trailer to the park in Bryce Canyon National Park, you had to have a guide guide you, even though you may have been going there, that trail's a lot longer than that guide even had, you know.
Right.
And so we explained it, and we agreed, we offered, and they agreed for us to do, to give Leave No Trace clinics. You know, for folks, and a lot of things, just to, you know, do our part. And an interesting thing that came out of that is for horse people nationwide is that Utah is one of the few states that if you have an in-state horse or mule, you don't need a Coggins to show a Coggins to go somewhere within the state.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Now, so the national park at Bryce accepted that, and I think the other five national parks did also, but I'm not sure. I know Bryce did. So, but if you're an out-of-state horse, then you've got to have your Coggins with you. But yeah, so it is different. So something to kind of keep your eye on there. Yellowstone, just a quick one there. They did a environmental impact statement to see the effect of packing horses and horses in the backcountry in Yellowstone. And as I've always, you know, that when things happen at Yellowstone, they happen everywhere. I mean, you got to really watch. And they came out really well. We had a lot of cooperation with our folks and other horse people in their decision. We backcountry horsemen got complimented for the professional, you know, way of going about this and making suggestions. And so not only are the horses welcome, they might be welcome even more.
Well, that's great. What was the main issue there at Yellowstone, Jim?
Well, what happened was it started at Yosemite. You know, again, another iconic name. That
right.
That they Yosemite hadn't done a environmental impact statement. At least it was viewed by some folks in a timely fashion. You know, you need to do it at, when you do your planning for the parks. Is about every 15 years you have to have a master plan, a
right.
management plan, and the Forest Service is about National Forest by every 10 years. So, and it takes 3 or 4 years to do one. It's massive, these things. And they were out of sequence on the timing, and so one hiker group had sued Yosemite. That's a whole other story, but what it did, it told the folks at Yellowstone, whoops, we better do ours, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do it continuously. The Snake River, you know, and the canoes and all that, the outfit, you know, those, everything is studied, and it was our turn for the horses. They realized the impact was not bad at all, and that it could even be expanded. So I'm not sure if they've come to any expansion numbers, but that's an important one because it is Yellowstone. And
right.
So that was a good one. We have a lot of folks. I mean, there's a metropolitan county in well, I suppose you could probably take Davidson County, but in Nashville, but there's one in Georgia that in Cobb County in suburban Atlanta that has, you know, 70% more people than the whole state of Wyoming. You know, and so
right.
Yeah.
Right.
So our people, as a percentage of folks, the horse people were, you know, made an impact. I think another couple of important things. Again, this was during Wilderness Week. We signed a memorandum of understanding with the National Park Service and met the head of the National Park Service. And that what that does is it tells all the folks in the park system that we've been checked out. You know, we're good folks to work with this. And this, I think, is our fourth time, the five-year ones, and it was our fourth time. So, but it was good to meet the chief of the National Park Service. And then another thing I participated in all summer representing Backcountry Horsemen was a great outdoors initiatives where we talk about how to conserve the national forest, but yet bring more people in. And Backcountry Horsemen was the only group it came down to 15 groups, 15 organizations at the end, and we were the only ones representing the horses. And in effect, it's great outdoors of the whole United States, not just the National Forest. That's this initiative.
Right.
So we represent the horses for everything.
Well,
outdoors.
Yeah, and we have to be represented because there's some pretty strong
yeah.
other
yeah,
groups
I mean,
pretty strong. You know, that
yeah,
kind of out numbers.
If you take most samplings of users in the parks and the National Forest, the horse people are less than 2%, and so. So if they come to, you know, say, allotting trails, well, if we're only going to get 2% of the trails, I mean, you know, it's not done that way. But
right.
that can be viewed by a bureaucratic view that, well, that just makes sense, doesn't it? You know, so
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't, but if you own a horse, but that's one thing. And I think then the last is I was elected because I'm chairman of the Backcountry Horsemen, as really the Backcountry Horsemen were elected, but to chair the American Horse Council's Recreation Committee, and then also elected to the board of the Certified Horsemanship Association this year, and not because it was Jim doing it, but because I'm not the chairman of the Backcountry Horsemen, and so they wanted the Backcountry Horsemen on. And with the American Horse Council, past chairman, Mylon Filkins, has been on for about a decade, so they're keeping up a tradition of having the Backcountry Horsemen represent all the recreational horses in the American Horse Council group. So I think that's kind of a summary. We have a lot more things, but that kind of gives the gist of it there, I think, some high points.
Well, it's kind of been a busy year.
Well, it has. It's been fun, you know, these kind of things. Yeah, it's been a busy year. It's been fun. I was just thinking about every night, but it was, yeah, most of them were. So,
Your website's beautiful. It's easy to get around and get through there. And I just want to put something out there because you have a cause. And
yeah.
You're the voice of the trail rider.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, you know, if everybody really realizes that. that we need to unite and come together, and you have the insight and the tools to get things done, and have us unite as one voice for all the trail riders out there. And I just want to make sure that, you know, that kind of gets out there. But your site's beautiful. I was kind of bouncing around on that, and it's a great website.
Well, thank you. It is. Thank you very much. Yeah, we've got Marty Duval in Oregon, master at it, and I appreciate his volunteering his time and knowledge on this. And one of the goals of 2015 is to try to get the horse people more organized. You know, we're pretty stratified ourselves. You know, you got mm-hmm. the English folks, and then you got within the English group, you've got a whole kind of stratifications, and the Western people, you've got all the different competitive situations besides trail riding, we need to kind of hang together a little bit more. So.
Mm-hmm. And then you got your Westish people, which is what I call, they're kind of like half English, half Western.
Yeah, right.
and then you got your different trail riders and everything. But yes, we do. We all need to unite, because we do need an organization to stand up for the trail riders, because they are out there working hard out there to close down our trails so that we cannot use them. Right. And you are our voice, and you are getting things done. And I, as a trail rider, want to thank you for that. And I want to encourage people out there and our listeners to join Backcountry Horsemen, to stay in the know and to help keep and fight our trails, to keep them open.
Thank you. So. We've got 174 chapters, and if you go to our website, you can punch in your zip code and get one close to you.
And they can also become like an at-large member.
Yeah, an at-large. Oh, yes.
Now, instead of join an individual chapter, you can also join as a whole as well. So you got different options there, or both.
It does. And so we're looking forward to another year of getting things done and getting some accomplishments out there on our public lands.
Well, it's going to be an exciting year. I know a lot of work still to be done, and it's really something that doesn't stop. It's
I know. When we were Ken Austin, Phyllis Austin up in Montana this spring, going through their 4-inch thick, you know, binder of news clippings and all that kind of things. Man, the stories are the same. You know, thank
God. That's right.
But they've not gotten any worse. So I think if we're holding our own, then we're succeeding to a degree. So
that really is true with the way that the society has changed over the years. If you haven't lost ground, you're actually doing very well. So
you've certainly got to change. Oh yes.
Yeah, we want to give your website one time for folks.
Well, it's backcountryhorse.org.
Okay.
All run together, backcountryhorse.org. And then also go to our Facebook, Backcountry Horsemen of America Facebook. A lot of things on it anymore. We're getting tremendous numbers of views and likes and shares. And been having our person of the day and kids of the day.
Well, I've enjoyed seeing those posts from Backcountry Horsemen of America, and particularly the Person of the Day. So that's kind of interesting to see where people have come from and what their life is like and their involvement. So that's something that we're enjoying. Hey, want to wish you and Cindy a very Merry Christmas, and it will be a new year when you're back on with us again.
Well, that's right. That's right. Yes. And look forward to it. Yeah, good. And Tina and you and Gary have a good holidays and Christmas. And
absolutely. Merry Christmas to you as well.
Well, thank you, Tina. Thank you, Gary. Good to talk to you guys again.
Good to talk with you. And again, our sympathies to the Osk family and Backcountry Horsemen for that loss. And so we appreciate his work and the legacy that Backcountry Horsemen continues for us all. So, Jim, talk to you the first of the year.
Thank you. See y'all. Bye, Tina.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks so much. Thanks much. All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking with Marie Carter from Tanglewood Acres in Bainbridge, Ohio.
Bainbridge.
And I think that's in the heart of Amish country. So we're going to have a good time talking with Marie. And you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, Saddle Up America, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Bunkhouse out back. He helped round the ranch with his cow dog named Jack. He'd been here for years, long as I can recall. Stayed through the summer and on through the fall. Come December when the north winds blow in the snow, we know it was time for old Lyle to go. When he'd shuffle in the kitchen, put his hat to his chest, he'd look at my daddy, make this simple request. I'll be going home for Christmas this year. I figure I've done all I can do around. Won't you feed old Jack till I get back? 'Cause I'm going home for Christmas this
Mary Kay's Going Home for Christmas, and we want to welcome to the show Marie Carter. Marie, welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Marie.
Hi, Tina.
I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
How's the weather in Bainbridge, Ohio?
Actually, it turned out pretty good today. We were supposed to have some freezing rain, but it's cleared off, and all we have is a bit of clouds.
Oh, well, good for you, because we had a lot of things shut down here in Missouri. So,
are you getting snow out there, Tina May?
We had ice and sleet and just bitter cold yesterday, and there was a lot of school closings, a lot of roads were closed down, a lot of accidents yesterday. Mm-hmm. Today they cleared off, but yesterday it was interesting.
Well, it sounds like Tanglewood Acres is a good place to be at this time of the year.
Yes, it does.
Hey, Marie, you had an interesting story when we chatted yesterday about how you got started with your facility, and share with us as much of that as you'd like.
Well, it all started with meeting my husband. I met him on an online dating site. We had the same kind of critters. We had horses and goats and dogs and cats and chickens, and he had peacocks and I had house birds and a few fish. But it was amazing to find somebody who had all the same animals as I did, and it blossomed into a wonderful romance. We were just sort of chatting to each other, and one night his pony got sick with some colic, and he called me up not knowing what to do. And I went out in the middle of the night and helped him with his pony, and she got better. And we just escalated from there, and it's a wonderful thing.
Well, I think every man needs a good vet in the family, so it looks like he did pretty well.
So we got to talking about what we'd like to do in life, and we both really enjoy camping, and we enjoy our animals, so we were looking for a campground with animals. And turned out that horse campgrounds were just the thing for us. So we went online and we found a horse campground down here in Bainbridge, Ohio, that was for sale at a price we could afford. And we bought it.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, I don't think I've heard of a story quite like that on how people got started with a horse campground. So that's that's
kind of
pretty
unique.
Cool. That is pretty cool. That is pretty cool. Well, Tina May, you want to find out a little bit about the campground?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Maria, tell us a little bit about your place, but let's talk about your trails that you have there.
Okay.
Let's talk about what you're near, how many miles of trails you have, and about the train, and tell our listeners what you've got there.
Sure thing. We're right next to Pike Lake State Forest. It's a half mile down the road, and in Pike Lake State Forest, there's over 50 miles of trails. We're in a valley, so they're all uphill. And then once you get up the hill, you can ride along the ridge, but you do have to go uphill first.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's valleys to ride in, and there's some beautiful overlooks that you can sit at. The Pike County chapter of the Ohio Horsemen's Council has set up some picnic tables so that you can ride on out to a picnic table and sit down and have your lunch and then ride on from there, which I think is really cool.
How's the train like? Is it rocky ground? You obviously have hills, so
uh-huh.
Horses kind of need to be in shape or give them some rest periods. But how is your ground for the people that's bringing the horses there?
There's quite a mix. Most of the trails are very well drained because there's a lot of ledge, so the water runs off quick. We don't have a whole lot of mud. There's a little
mm-hmm.
bit of mud here and there, but it's not real bad. There's a few trails that have rocks on them. Most of the trails are through woods, which is great in the summer because it's all nice and shady, so you can come and ride here in the hot month of August and go, you have a nice cool ride because you're all in the shade.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
You know, people ask me that a lot, you know, because I do ride year-round even in 100-degree weather, and, you know, people always, you know, talk about how hot it is, and the hottest part is saddling your horse, because once you get it up there in your saddle and you're walking in the woods like that, when it's shaded like that, it's not too bad.
Mm-hmm, that's right. And we also have some nice rivers out there that you can stop and let your horse have a drink in. So it's not like you go out and there's nowhere to stop and get your horse watered. There's a few out there. And a lot of the trails are really nice, kept open by the Ohio Horsemen's Council. They mark them real well in conjunction with the state park. They keep them up. I've not had any complaints at all about the trails being a problem in terms of they got lost.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fabulous out there.
Now, do you have maps of your trail?
We do. We have maps that we give out that are on paper, and we have trail maps on kerchiefs for people to buy if they want to ride here often and have a permanent mat that doesn't get wet. You know, you get it wet and it's still good because it's on the cloth.
Yep.
That's a great idea.
I've seen them actually put them on handkerchiefs too, like mats, which is kind of cool. I thought that was a really neat idea. Well, tell us about your facilities then. Tell us about your campground. Kind of give us a visual and how many sites you have and things like that.
Sure. Well, the campground is located on 60 acres, 20 of which are fairly flat, and that's where we have the parking sites. And we have a restaurant with the campground. It's a really nice 30-seat restaurant, and we serve breakfast and dinner there. And a lot of our campers find that it's wonderful to come here because they don't have to cook. They can come and have breakfast and have dinner and leave the cooking and the dishes to us.
Mm-hmm. My kind of place.
Yeah, I started to say, when you talk about food, it's Tina May's spot, I'm telling you.
We have upcoming... what we did this year and we're going to do again next year is to have a barbecue weekend where we do a cookout and we get all the food ready and we sell tickets to the cookout. And when you come, you get to have some of my husband's wonderful smoked meat and barbecued, and we make up a few side dishes to go with it. And then we have giveaways at the end. With your ticket, you put your tickets into a cowboy hat, and you could win a free bundle of wood or a free weekend of camping, all kinds of goodies.
That's pretty cool.
Well, talk about your sites. How many electric sites you have and what you have for the horses and things like that?
We have well water for the horses. There's one spigot for every four campsites. They are shared, but that's not too bad. And we have all 25 electric sites, and the smallest one is 44 feet long, so we can accommodate most trailers. The longest one that we have is 120 feet long.
Wow.
Yeah, we can now take them all.
Are these back-end sites, or do you have any pull-through sites?
We do have pull-through sites. We have three pull-through sites. And all the others are back in or pull in and back out, whichever you are comfortable with. But, yeah, we had the most incredible rig here last year. There's this big Mack truck-looking thing, and it was a four-horse trailer with two slide-outs so that there was room inside for up to six people.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
It was a 50-foot-long rig without the truck.
Wow. Wow.
They wanted that big site.
They Tina, did.
sounds like your rig, Tina May.
Yeah, right. Like the whole 18-foot box. All I do inside my trailer is sleep and change my clothes because I stay outside.
Oh, gosh. Hey, you know, we want to talk a little bit more about the campground and some of the activities that you have there, and also we want to come back and talk about some of the area sites and things. And I know that when you mentioned Amish Bakery, Tina May's eyes lit up yesterday. But we need to give something away, Tina May.
Yes, we do. We most certainly do, and it was our monthly drawing. I'm going to talk about our Legacy Club and let our listeners know that this is our thank you to our listeners. It's free, and you're automatically entered into our drawings for free prizes, like this month's end-of-the-year prize from our premier sponsor, Hydro Horse, for a two-horse Hydro Horse system for your trailer. This is our year-end prize. I also have I have one of those, and I absolutely love it. It's a great system, great for traveling. We also have a monthly drawing, and last month's drawing was for a bridle from Elkins Creek Horse Camp and Tack Store. And that winner is Vicki Centers from Missouri. Congratulations, Vicki.
All right. Well, congratulations, Vicki, and I hope she enjoys that from Elkins Creek Horse Campground and Tack Shop. And There's still time to enroll in the Legacy Club to be eligible for the Hydro Horse 2-horse portable watering system. And our listeners can do that by going to equestrianlegacy.net and enrolling there. And I want to mention, too, I mean, this is the season to be shopping, right?
Yes, it is.
It is. And so all of our Legacy Club sponsors offer discounts and specials for our Legacy Club members. And again, the Legacy Club is free. And as Tina May said, that's our thank you to you for listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio. So rush over to the website after the show, and that's equestrianlegacy.net, and become members of the Legacy Club, and take advantage of the discounts that our sponsors offer there, as well as enrolling for the year-end grand prize from Hydro Horse LLC. We're going to take
a quick
break.
And we're growing every month.
We are growing. I have a hard time
we're
keeping up.
We're growing in membership. We're growing with sponsors, and so just keep watch on that page and see who's new and who's joining us.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, we're going to kind of do a little Christmas dancing here for just a minute, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Marie some more and find out about how close that Amish bakery is to Tanglewood Acres. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America, heard around the world, online at equestrianlegacy.net. Christmas tree. And Marie, you know, one of the things, it is a fun song. One of the things that we haven't talked about yet, though, is where you're located and when you're open.
Well, we're open starting in April this year, all the way through the first week of December every year. And we are located in Bainbridge, Ohio. It's south of Columbus, and it's east of Cincinnati. The Amish community, the bakery, is right here in Bainbridge. It's about 6 miles from the campground. So after you've gone out riding all day and you get kind of smelly there, you can take a shower in our bathrooms. We have hot and cold running water for people to take shower, freshen up, go on out to the Amish bakery and enjoy some good Amish food. There's a couple of Amish gift shops as well out that way. And on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, the Amish folks have their produce auction, and that's always fun to go see.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, I know a lot of times when people go camping, you have one partner that likes to ride and the other one is not quite as much into it, but they're there and supportive. And there are quite a few activities in your area that folks can participate in if they're not a trail rider.
This is true. Right down the road at Pike Lake State Park, they have frisbee golf, and they have swimming and canoeing and kayaking and fishing. So there's quite a bit to do there. You can go on over to Paint Creek and go fishing out there and see the speedboats racing, because they do that all over there. That's about 10 miles from the campground. There is the very first school of dentistry right here in Bainbridge. There's a museum about there. And you can visit that. There's a lot of antique shops downtown and a cheesecake factory.
Oh, wow.
That's
wow, Tina
the
Mae,
one
did
I
you
want
hear
to talk about.
Yeah, cheesecake, Tina Mae.
Mm-hmm.
I gosh.
Want to get that.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, if I saw a picture of you from behind riding somewhere up in Missouri,
watch
I
it,
think.
Gary.
Yeah, I'll be careful. I'll be careful. But, yeah, we'll have to try to see if we can resize that and put that on Facebook or something so people can see it.
resize it, just trim off a little.
Hey, okay. All right. Well, Maria, I know that you were talking yesterday as we were visiting. You said you've got some plans for some expansion and some things that you're adding coming into 2015.
Absolutely. We're putting in a round pen. It's almost finished. We ordered the gravel support today. We are also planning on putting in an arena, and we're in the process of building an extreme trail course. And all of which should be really fun to have people come and do presentations and speakers that'll come and tell you about their method of training and how they work with their horses, or to show off what they do, like the cowboy mounted shooting or the ladies aside who ride side saddle. I think
right.
It would be great to see some of those things here.
Yeah, well,
You was telling us, and I just kind of want to share a little bit, because I just thought it was neat. I thought it was a really neat idea. You got a bingo ride. Can you kind of touch base on that a little bit and tell our listeners about that bingo ride? I think that sounds fun.
Oh, sure. We had this really fun bingo ride. The campers here really loved it. You come down, you ride the trails, because that's what you're here for, is to go out and have a fun ride. You mark
that's
down
right.
The post numbers as you go by them out there, and when you come back to the camp that night, we have a bingo game, and every post number that you go by, you can get as a free space on your bingo card. And then we play bingo as normal, and we give out prizes. And it made for a whole lot of fun because people got to do what they enjoyed out on the trails, and they got extra rewards for going further to get more of their card covered.
gosh.
That is great.
Well, that sounds...
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. And I think, too, we were talking a little bit about wagons yesterday.
Yes.
And, uh-huh. Yeah, and some potential for some trails there that people that like to get out with their wagons might be able to.
Yeah, we have a wagon. We have a workhorse that I got from my husband to ride, and he came with the wagon, and I drive him down to Pike Lake State Park and around down there and back to camp again. There's one trail called Tobacco Barn Hollow that's wide enough to drive a wagon down, and we just have to get permission to open the gate and go down. There's room enough to turn around and come back, and I'm hoping to put together a driving ride here next season, because I also do karting with my horses. I'm
oh,
just
wow.
training my mountain horse. I have a Rocky Mountain horse, and I'm just starting him in the cart. And so far, he's looked at it and gone, Yeah, no, I'm not putting that thing on. Mm-mm. but we'll get him into it. I know I will. I've trained quite a few horses to cart, and he'll come along just fine.
Oh, well. Well, it's and by the way, you're a writer as well. You were sharing a little bit about that. You wrote some for a while for Western Mule.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. I used to write for Western Mule magazine. I have quite a bit of background in operant conditioning and training animals of all sorts with operant conditioning. And I took on a task of mule training, and they worked so well with operant conditioning, and it was a lot of fun, and I got asked to write for the magazine, so I did for almost a year. Had a regular column in it.
Well, that is fantastic. You're a multi-talented lady. Do you know of Meredith Hodges?
I have heard that name, yes.
Meredith, I believe Meredith is Charles Schultz, the peanut cartoonist's daughter, and she is she's a mule lady out in California. So there are a lot of our listeners that are passionate about their mules, and we'll have to see if we can get Meredith on one of our shows sometime to talk about the mules and what she does with them. She's competed at all levels and all disciplines with the mules, and so that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, we're having a group of mule skinners come down here in June this year, and that should be fun to see, too, speaking of driving in mules.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be. I have this vision of a mule skinner, and it's not a pretty picture. But What was that? Kevin Dances with Wolves. I kind of remember that mule skinner from that movie, and it just... the guy was a great actor. Well, listen, there is a lot to see and do at Tanglewood Acres in Bainbridge, Ohio, and just sounds like a great place to come and visit and get out and enjoy the trails and visit some of the sites that are in the area while you're there visiting with Tanglewood Acres. And how can people find you?
They can find us on Facebook. We are there as Tanglewood Acres.
Okay.
And they can find us on the internet, tanglewoodacres.com. The site still seems to be down today. My web person swore he'd have it up yesterday, but I just checked on it, and it seems to be down today. I think that the site is having some issues. But it should be back up soon. And
all right,
they
great.
Can call us here. It's 740-493-3801. Or they can reach me by email, tanglewoodacres4@yahoo.com.
All right. Well, the number phone number again is 740-493-3801, 740-493-3801, and visit Tanglewood Acres' Facebook page and like it. I did. And some cool pictures there, and also the website at tanglewoodacres.com. And, you know, we had some technical problems today getting started with the show, Marie. So that stuff happens out there. There are just little cyberspace ghosts that mess with us sometimes. So that's all right.
And I also want to let our listeners know that Tanglewood Acres is going to become a Legacy Club select campground. And so they can also look on our website for her as well, and then hopefully it'll be running. Her website will be running by then.
Well, cool. Well, thank you, Marie. Appreciate that. But any final thoughts that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Well, I do hope that people go to our Facebook page and check, because we are planning lots of fun events for next summer, and we really do enjoy hosting groups of people to come and. And we have a good time. We hope that all of our campers have a good time while they're here too. We do some karaoke. We do the bingo rides. We did a poker run last year. It's all good, you know. People want to come here and have a good time, and we hope to help provide that for them.
Well, if you can get Tina May on karaoke, I'm going to come watch that. So.
you may be sorry.
If we can just keep the barbecue away from her long enough for her to sing, that would be the
and the cheesecake.
And the cheesecake.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Oh, speaking of singing, we're going to have a band here this year for our barbecue rides. We're going to have the Ben Sidrus and Friends band here playing. They do Western. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that
sounds
like...
And when is your next barbecue ride?
We have them the first Saturday of every month.
Okay.
All right. Tina May, there's plenty of time for you to get up there and get barbecue then, so that's cool.
I know it. I'm ready. I'm making it on my calendar.
That is cool. Well, Marie, thanks so much for taking time to join us today and to share information about Tanglewood Acres. And now I know that a lot of our listeners are going to be out looking for equestrian dating sites out there so they can meet their perfect match.
Well, you just never know where you're going to meet the right one.
There you go. Well, listen, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and Rich, and we look forward to talking with you again. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you for having me on the program. It was wonderful.
Well, you're
thank
a lot
you,
of fun.
Thank you, Maria. You have a very Merry Christmas.
All right.
Same to y'all.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, Tina May, we can't get away from talking about the food.
I know. What's up with that?
I don't know whether the trails are your favorite part or eating. I'm just not sure. Well, a little bit of both. Well, that makes it fun to get out and enjoy being out in God's country and enjoying meeting new people and eating well and bonding with our horses or our mules or our equine friends. So, anyway, fun show. Always good to have Jim McGarvey with us and share information. Mm-hmm. And Marie was a joy to visit with as well. So we encourage people to go to Tanglewood Acres on Facebook and check out their website at tanglewoodacres.com. And put that on your bucket list. Make a trip up to Ohio, and you can do a lot of shopping and fishing and horseback riding and just have a big time up there with those folks as well. Well, Tina May, what do we have coming up next week on Saddle Up America?
Well, next week we have our regular Robert Eversole, the Trailmeister. Then we travel to Eminence, Missouri, and talk with Ruth Martin, owner of Shawnee Creek Horse Camp.
All right. Well, that sounds like a good show for next week. And then this Thursday, around the Campfire Cafe, we're going to be joined again by Mickey Daniel, a very talented young lady. She's a great singer, songwriter, and just a joy to talk with. So Mickey's going to be joining us on Thursday, and we'll also be visiting with Christy Landwehr, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the Certified Horsemanship Association. So that's coming up this Thursday, and then on Sunday, just got a message from Belinda, and the very talented Devin Dawson will be joining her for Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. And so we've got a lot of great things coming up. We're going to have some great guests for the next couple of weeks that are joining us on Equestrian Legacy Radio. And we're going to share some great Christmas Western-style music as we go through this holiday period as well. So any final thoughts, Tina May?
No, just get out on your horse. I know it's cold outside, but, you know, go out there and just spend some time with your horse, saddle up, and go for a nice winter ride.
All right. Well, we encourage people to do that. You'll be looking for these pretty days to get out and enjoy some of the trails. And as we go into this holiday season, go ahead.
I do want to mention to people on the Backcountry Horsemen of America, you know, your membership helps. Trail riders unite for a voice to keep our trails open. And Backcountry Horsemen of America is our voice for that. They are fighting to keep our trails open. And join. Go on their website, check it out, see what they're all about, and join them and help unite as a voice to keep our trails open.
Okay. All right. Well, as we close the show out today, we want to remind people, as we go into this holiday season, to remember the reason for the season. And we'll close the show with "It All Began in a Barn" by Mary Kay. thank you for listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, and we remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle,
get ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride. Thanks for listening.
Barn, it's a special place to me. This old barn and our happy story. When life is more than I can bear, just like a child, you will find me there. It's a cold and clear December night. The stars above, the only light, shine on this spot of rough-hewn pine, turning something simple into something divine. Why did God in His glory choose to start His son's story in a stable with a manger of hay? He could have saved all the hassle and crafted a castle for the Christ child on that first Christmas day. But I think I understand why it all began in a snow lay silent on the ground. My footsteps are the only sound. The world will turn again tonight, but for now I'll keep this silent night. This old barn where I have worked and played, hard times I have even prayed. Who knew that such a humble place is where God would send His amazing grace? Why did God in His glory choose to start His son's story in a stable with a manger of hay? He could have saved all the hassle and crafted a castle for the Christ child on that first Christmas day. But I think I understand why it all began in a barn. A place that's warm, a place that's safe, far away from the human race. Yes, I think I understand why it